In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Every morning, when I go into the office here and pick up my emails, I go first of all straight to Zermatt in Switzerland, because we have a strong connection with the Christian ministry in those wonderful mountains and the Alps and Zermatt. And last week I noted there was a huge amount of snow that had fallen in the village and right across all that area. Little did I know until Monday that six skiers had been killed. You might have heard about that in the news. And five of them were all from one family, and a young woman as well. And it was particularly poignant for us, partly because of the connection with Zermatt and the chaplaincy there in the church, but also the route that they would have taken up to the mountains, I would have taken daily. And the young woman is still not found. And so I'm mindful today, as we begin our service here, to pray for the situation there. Small village, and would have a huge impact, and particularly for the Christian ministry that is there, that gathers up the grief around these sorts of events. So do pray for that. We live in a global village, and what happens in other parts of the world affects us daily. We were particularly aware of that, of course, during COVID, and the global food supply that comes our way. We're connected in every sense from one another. We're part of a community that is deeply interconnected. So what goes on in Russia affects us, doesn't it, Jess? What goes on in the USA with the elections affects us, doesn't it, Jess? So we're global Christians, and we pray for things that, you know, maybe are outside of our immediate frame. It's so important. We begin a period now as we go towards Easter. This is called Passion Sunday. Next week we'll be going to Palm Sunday and then finally into Holy Week before we come to Easter Day. We go to a period where we reflect on the cross of Jesus and his passion. That's what the reading was about today. What I want to remind you first of all is that it's amazing, in one sense, that the whole of Christianity started with a cross. You see, what they were expecting, like most people expecting, they were expecting a world leader that would come, and so that through wisdom, might and power, and the use of the sword, he would transform the world. That was the expectation, the Messiah that they wanted. We like power. We like authority, all of us. We want things that are going to sort things out quickly and bring change. We would love to have that in the nation at the moment, with the government in so much disarray. We want things to be sorted, and they did too. But the thing that really shocked them is they had no concept at all that it would come through a cross. And that wise, we read in the epistles of Paul that he wrote, that's why to the people at the time, the whole idea of deliverance and freedom coming through somebody's death was abhorrent to them. It was just weakness. It was utter weakness. This was Rome. They ruled by the sword, not by somebody's death. And that's why the cross was so an affront to the way that they thought. Imagine, for example, today, rather than a cross, if we had an electric chair up there. Well, what's that electric chair doing up there? How can that electric chair affect me? Or imagine it's a noose, a hangman's noose. You'd think, well, that's a bit weird. Or even more weird, imagine it's a needle that we inject into people and we kill them, like they do in some parts of the United States. Imagine if there was a needle up there. You think, oh, I'm not going to follow that. It's really weird. That's how they thought. But it was through the cross of Jesus that came their deliverance. And there's a wonderful, wonderful line at the end of our gospel reading today. If you read nothing else, because some of it can be quite confusing, that his glorification, it says, would come through his cross. And by the way, when we have children here, I say to them, what is a cross? A cross is a bridge. We've done this before, but it's so important. It's a bridge. It's a bridge between the universe, the world, and everything in it, and to Almighty God. It's the great bridge of reconciliation that goes and stretches out across all time, back in time and forward in time. That's a cross. And that's why it's so wonderfully powerful and a deliverance, a means of grace and freedom. And I say to the children, as I did at Holy Trinity School in Northwood this week, every single one of us, if you didn't realize, is a walking cross, all of us. So we bear in our bodies the marks of God's freedom that came through this wonderful deliverance, the cross. And the wonderful line that is in this reading at the end, it says, I will draw all men, I will draw all people to myself through my cross. So the wonderful thing about the cross of Jesus is that it has an amazing attraction to it. All people will be drawn to it. All people across all time can be saved through it. You see, Christianity, if it's real, is wonderfully attractive. It's like a magnet that draws. If our own Christian lifestyle and the way that we live and the way that we go about our life generally, if it is real and it has an integrity to it, it will be wonderfully attractive to other people. And Jesus says, I will draw all people to myself through my death. It's like a huge magnet for the whole universe that he draws forgiveness and grace and mercy that comes through his cross. So you see, real Christianity, hear this, doesn't have to promote itself. It's just attractive, wonderfully attractive. Of itself, it's inherently attractive. It just draws. Real Christianity, if it's real, doesn't need to coerce or manipulate. Real Christianity that comes through the cross doesn't need to promote. It is not a marketing campaign. I've spent a whole life in marketing drugs up until 12 years ago. And I know an awful lot of marketing, international marketing, about promotion and spin and giving the right messages so people hear them and then adopt the policy and buy it and prescribe it. Christianity is not like that. It doesn't need to market itself or promote itself. If it is real, it's wonderfully attractive. It draws. So your life, if you're a Christian, people should look at you and say to them, oh, that's attractive. I want some of that because that's what the cross is about. I will draw all people to myself. You see, compassion, attractive. Kindness, attractive. Humility, attractive. Gentleness and patience and love, wonderfully attractive. It draws people to itself. That's real Christianity. It doesn't need to be marketed. It doesn't need spin. It doesn't need to be promoted. It's attractive wonderfully of itself, and that's what makes it real. So often what we see in the church, we can't trust. And people often say to me, we need a package in this sort of way and give it to the world so that they will believe it and come to hold it and want it. No, no. If it's real and it's true, and there's integrity about what we do, it will just draw the whole world to itself. And in one sense, nobody will be excluded. There are no buts. There are no I'm in and you're out. Everybody will be attracted to it. When Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself, did he say, I will draw some? No. Did he say, I will draw some and tough luck to the rest? No. He said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people. All. Black, white, yellow, rich, poor, clever, not so clever, beautiful, not so beautiful. All is wonderfully radical. And this is the wonderful power of real Christianity. It is wonderfully attractive. Some years ago, I was attending a conference in central London. This was in the 80s, a long time ago for some of us. And when I went to the first Monday of this conference at the Westminster Central Hall, which is right opposite Parliament, it's the Methodist Hall, their national meeting place. I went to this conference and there were hundreds of people there. And there was a pastor and leader there from the United States with a wonderful team of musicians. And it was a whole conference that lasted from the morning right till late at night. When I went to this place, I sensed that God was there. And something began to change in me. I'd signed up for it. I had to pay to go. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people. The place was absolutely packed. Do you know, day by day, that place became so attractive for me. And what I encountered in Christianity, I just had to be there. I would arrive really early in the morning and I would stay late at night because something was going on there that made it so attractive. I wanted this. I remember the last Friday, I finished work late and I had to get there for the last service. And when I arrived, it was about 7 o'clock and the commissioners had closed all the doors because the place was already full. There was no more meeting. They wanted to keep us out. And I literally waited by the door for the commissioner to open the door. And when he did, I ran in and he chased me up the steps because they were already full. And I ran up the steps and I disappeared into the crowd. You see, I was so wanting to be there. I was desperate because what they were talking about, Jesus and and the life that he gives and the wonder of the worship, the wonder of the teaching, the ministry, I just had to be there. And that's the reason the place was full. So it's worth asking of ourselves today, is our Christianity attractive? Because through him, the whole of humanity will be drawn back to himself. This is the wonderful means of salvation that we've come to know, and it's for everybody. One of my favorite hymns that we might sing in a moment just before we come to our prayers is that there's a wideness in God's mercy. Wideness in God's mercy, where everybody is attracted to and involved in. It's one of my favorite hymns in the book because it says that nobody's excluded. Everybody can belong. There is room for everybody at the foot of the cross. And that's what makes Christianity, if it's as in integrity is true, so world changing. So people in prison, draw him to myself. People in the darkest places of our world, he will draw to himself. People in utter devastation in Russia and in Gaza today, he will draw to himself because that's the cross. That's the glory of our salvation that we need to know. And we want it. It's like being in love. We are desperate, desperate to be with that person. And to finish, notice he says he will draw us to himself. So Christianity is intentionally a person. It's about a relationship between you and Jesus. About you and Jesus. It's not about coming to church, we've said so many times. It's not just about just being baptized or keeping the rules. It's about you and Jesus. And I sense that many people actually don't get it because they don't know Jesus. He draws us to himself. So I want us to finish remaining seated with this wonderful hymn about God's mercy and his draw him. 501. This is one of my favourite hymns, 501. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness of his justice, which is more than liberty. There is no place where earth's sorrows are more felt than up in heaven. There is no place where earth's failings have such kindly judgment given.
Let us pray. We come before you today just as we are, with muddled lives and hearts. We praise you for the joy in our world, and we pray for the sorrow of the world to be eased. We ask now that we can bring to you, in our minds, in our hearts, all those who are suffering. For those caught up in the struggle of war, whether they be fighting for something that they believe or suffering the consequences of those actions. We pray for anyone living in poverty, whether that's those that we see sheltering on the streets and asking for help, or those who are hidden, unbeknownst to us, no heating, missing meals. We pray for those for whom the next meal is unknown, where there is famine, flood, natural disasters. Whether these are earthly caused or caused by us in some way, Lord, we pray that we may seek to find a better way. We pray for anyone who is persecuted for whatever reason, for those simply unable to be who they feel that they are, to believe in what they'd like to believe, and to be able to live freely. We pray for those who suffer prejudice and discrimination, being judged for something that they are not, for not being seen as equal to anybody else. And we pray for those who are homeless and who have been displaced, for those who have nothing, for those who've had to leave, for those who don't know where they're going. Lord, we hold them now, and we ask you to hold them always, to comfort them, we pray. We pray and hold dear all those who are ill, whether in mind, in body, or in spirit. In our hearts, Lord, we hold those who are dear to us. And we ask that you love, comfort, and strengthen them in their healing. We pray for all those who are in Starlink, for King Charles III, Sue Baker, Phil Brown, Lawrence Covell, Eve Doyle, Robinson and Rabina Ihesian. Teresa Milosovikova. Jean Murch. Jean Neath. Joyce Nicolay. Pam Story. Janet Teixeira. Esme Williams, Sally, Susan and Richard, Angela Zadurian. For those who have been called home to you, we pray. May their souls be at rest, and those that are left behind be comforted and strengthened in the knowledge that your love goes on and on. Whether that grief is new or whether that grief is years old, our prayers are the same. And we pray this week for John Nicolay, Alfred J. Wicks, Doreen Bedford, Reverend Richard Brown, and Stuart Sinden. As we continue through Lent, may we be mindful of those who go without every day, those far away, and those on our doorsteps. Empower us to help those that we can, in any way that we can. Help us to use our ears to listen. Help our minds to be stilled so that we don't immediately look for a solution, but perhaps just to hear someone. Pray that we may use resources around us to give ideas, to give hope. We pray for ourselves, for our daily needs, for those making decisions that affect us all, for those whose job it is to protect us, for those who look after, and for those who look after us. We pray for all who care, and we are thankful. As we walk towards Easter, may we walk in hope for a peaceful, fairer, more equal world where your love is at the heart. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
We stand for the peace.